What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, the number one community for DJs to get paid for your live stream sets. Today, we have my brother, DJ Dr. Phil Good. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people who you are and where you're from?
Well, it's your boy, DJ Dr. Phil Good, man, a.k.a. Big Phil Dub. I'm originally from Kansas, living out in Pennsylvania right now. I'm a nomad, man. I like to move around. I like to get new vibes everywhere I go. That's what we do, man.
Awesome. We're super excited to have you on the show, man. We're really interested in hearing your journey within the DJ industry. Talk to us a little bit about the early days. What sparked your interest to become a DJ? And tell us about some of the, you know, intro steps that you took to get into the industry.
Man, that's actually a good question, man. Be honest with you, it depends on who you ask. So I have... If you ask me, I've been DJing since I was 17. But if you ask the guy who got me started DJing, DJ 3 out of Wichita, Kansas, he'll tell you that I started DJing probably when I was about 22, 23. That all comes about because I was in college. And he had just so happened to be doing a party when I came out. I was leaving class, heard music bumping. I was like, man, what's going on in there? So I looked and I see my man 3 stand on top of the podium, and he's doing his thing, getting busy. He's got a mic in his hand. I'm just like, whoa, I want in on that. Everybody's having fun, sweating, drinking, just partying. I was like, yeah, I got to get in with that. So I couldn't get into the party that he was throwing. So I waited to the end of the party, right? I'm there for like hour and a half. And he finally... party's over with. I'm like, cool, I can go in and I can talk to him. Nope. And I had to wait outside again. So I had to wait for him to tear down. So we're talking like another 2 hours, because back then, you know, we're carrying crates, we're carrying sound equipment, all of that. So I wait a couple hours. He pops out. I'm like, yo, I don't care what I have to do. I want to be a DJ. And he looks at me dead in my face like, okay, carry these crates. Yeah, I've been immersed in the DJ world since then. And that was back, 03. Yeah, 03, 04. Prior to that, though, the love for hip hop was deep seated from, weird enough, Funkmaster Flex. He had a mixtape series, Funk Flex. The Funk Flex volume. Volume 1 through whatever it is now. But I remember I bought volume 2 when I was in high school, and listening to that and the way he was putting music together, and there were tracks on there whose beats I recognized from albums that I already bought, you know, from Nas to Mobb Deep, so on and so forth. So I would take those tapes and I would try and blend everything together to make my own mixtape. And, you know, from there, I was just like, I have to, at some point in my life, I have to be able to do this music thing. Fast forward, met 3, fast forward, we here.
Awesome, man. Now, that's an amazing intro into the game, man. And I'm glad that you had 3 there to help you in that early stages, because it's really hard to break into the industry alone. You don't have a mentor. You don't have someone to really walk you through that journey being in the industry. So, you know, talk to me some about the early lessons you were able to learn while breaking in. We use this podcast as a way to share your story, but also to help other DJs in their journey within the industry. So what are some of the things you learned in those early days that kind of helped you set the foundation for your future in the industry?
Honestly, so the industry is weird. Like, even in the short amount of time that I've been in it, which, you know, it's been like damn near 20 years. But just to watch the way the industry has moved as far as DJs go, you know, when I first started, like I said, I was a guy carrying crates, putting stuff together, tear up, set up, tear down, you know, the whole bit. I didn't get to touch a turntable until I threw my own party. One of the biggest lessons that 3 taught me, and it was funny the way it happened, is I threw my 21st birthday party because 3 would never let me rock a party. He would never let me touch the turntables. Like, I would just be able to go and hang out. And, you know, after about a year of carrying crates, you know, he might let me get on the mic every once in a while. And then, you know, 2 years in, he'd let me get on the mic a little bit more. But he never let me rock a party until I actually threw my 21st birthday after that, because he showed up to it. After that, he came up to me one day and was just like, yo, you know what? I think you're ready. So I think the biggest thing is just being patient. I think kids these days, man, DJs these days, they just want to go buy a rig and be popping fresh out the gate. Because the world is so accessible now as far as DJs go, everybody thinks they're a DJ. Everybody thinks they can play music and just be a DJ. They don't learn the skills. I'm not a turntablist, right? I'm not the biggest scratcher. The technical skills of that magnitude, that's not me. That's not my game. But you put me on two turntables and a microphone and give me a group of people. Listen, I'm gonna rock a party. And that's because I took the time to learn the fundamentals. I learned how to speak to a crowd. I learned how to be an MC first. I learned how to control that aspect of the crowd. And then I learned how to control the crowd with the music. What songs to play, when to play them, how long to play it. It's just being patient and being humble enough to say, hey, you know what? Maybe I don't know everything. Maybe I'm not as good as I think I really am. So let me step back and learn from somebody, even if it's not somebody you know personally. Just step back and watch and pay attention to what these other DJs that are popping, what they're really doing. And then take some of that and put it in your toolbox.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice, man. I think that by you able to have that humility, it really allow you to watch and learn and step your way into the position of being the headline DJ, being the one that is actually rocking the party. But if you don't have the opportunity to just sit back and learn, you might jump into it and be too soon for yourself to really learn the steps and the craft the way that you should enter the way into the industry. So I think that by having that patience, it really allows you to move at a pace where you're walking and moving into it in a very transitional way that gets you into the role that you should be in. You know, I would love to hear, you know, from working with Three and getting that intro into the industry, where did it go from there?
Oh man, so I'm from Kansas. So he and I, we rock parties for the better part of 6-7 years. We pretty much did pretty much everything together. We did festivals, we did summer jams, the whole nine. Concerts we did for E-40, we did concerts for Snoop, we had, and I'm going to date myself a little bit, we had Crime Mob, DJ Unk, you know, we did a lot of things. And then in 2008, 2009, somewhere in there, I left Kansas. And the thought process behind that was Three and I had been working so closely together. And this, let me drop this caveat real quick, is back then I had a terrible DJ name. I was DJ Juggernaut, the Unstoppable Party Rocker, right? So I was like, you know what? Everything that all the success that I had was on the back of DJ Three. He would get everything booked. He'd throw my name on the marquee with his, the whole nine. So I was like, you know what? I think at this time I should probably grow up in the industry and strike out on my own. So I moved from Kansas to Illinois. And Illinois is tough. Tough. Not just the music scene, but just, you know, Chicago and everything that it's all about in the surrounding areas, right? So get out there and I do a few shows out there, but shit gets a little too rowdy for me. So I dial back a little bit. And I start getting into the podcast realm. I start doing a radio show, doing that for a little while, for a few years. And I'm giving you the abridged version. There's a lot of nuance and dumb shit that happens too. But, you know, we start doing the podcast thing and the radio show's popping. And eventually I get robbed. Somebody breaks into my house, takes all my stuff. So I'm just like, ah, damn, what do I do now? So I hit a little bit of a depression and, you know, fell off for a minute. And I'm still going by this terrible ass DJ name. Terrible. So, you know, I'm sitting back and I'm thinking about it. And, you know, I finally decided to take a trip back home. And I go see my man Three. And he's doing a party at the time. I'll run up on him. Hey, man, what's going on? What's going on? Whopty bam. And this is 2017, 18. We chop it up. And he's like, hey, man, where are you spending that? I was like, I'm not. Tell him everything that happens. He goes, oh, okay, cool. So I need you to rock the decks for me for a minute because I'm going to go do whatever he was doing. I was like, but I have not spun in years, bro. Like, you can't just leave me here. He's like, ah, you got it. And then leaves. Literally walks off the stage, disappears into the crowd. Now I'm standing there in the booth looking at this crowd and thinking to myself, like, is he coming back? Do I risk the music stopping and call his bluff? Or do I just try and see what it's all about now? Well, he never came back. My man's left me there for a strong 45 minutes. But I rocked the party. And I was like, you know what? I got to get back into this. I got to pick this back up. This is where I live. So I fly back out and I pack up all my stuff and I move to Pennsylvania, which is where I'm at now. Move to Pennsylvania and I'm like, you know what? I can't keep going by that trash ass name. I can't do it. But also, it's a rebirth for me. So I got to change the name. So I'm sitting and I'm thinking, you know, what do I do? And I remember back from the time I can remember, everybody always called me Dr. Phil. Hated it. Hated it with a passion. But then I started dissecting it. You know, when I rock my parties, I make people feel good. That's what I do. Like, you come out to my parties, it's an experience. We go back, we go forth. We talk about your first kiss, you're losing your virginity, all of that. I make people feel good. And one of my boys was like, yo, that's it right there. Be Dr. Feelgood. I was like, ah, it's corny. Until I put it on paper. And everybody's like, yo, that's dope, man. Who's DJ Dr. Feel, man? I've never. I said, okay, we might run with this. So now we do, you know, with COVID happening, and all the live stuff has pretty much ceased to exist in some capacity. It's very limited. So right now we rocking. We do the radio shows. I'm actually starting a Twitch. It's just about evolving with what's going on in the world. And I think that's where a lot of DJs have failed. They haven't evolved with the times. They're all sitting back waiting on the world to open back up and live parties to come back and, you know, being able to rock, you know, 300,000, 400,000 people crowds. And that's, we got some time before that happens. So trying to migrate into the digital and the virtual space is where it's at, which, you know, I've been rocking podcasts since I can remember. I've been doing that forever. So that part wasn't hard for me. But getting into the virtual space, now that's where the fun's been, because trying to navigate that world, which is so oversaturated right now. You've got the big DJs, Jazzy Jeff with his magnificent parties. You've got DJ Scratch with his Scratch Vision, and you know, you got DJ Wonder. You got everybody out here trying to gain a foothold in this digital space. So it's been fun navigating through that world. Eventually, well, you know, we're gonna get there. We're gonna reclaim our spot in this DJ world. But right now, it's the journey. It's always been about the journey. It's always fun to for the hustle and the grind part of it, which is, I think, the most underrated part of being a DJ. A lot of people don't understand how much time it takes and how much effort it takes just to get booked once, let alone be the guy who's getting booked 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week, whether it's digital, virtually, or, you know, in person. So that's where I'm at right now.
Wow, I really appreciate you sharing this part of your story with us, man, from getting robbed and then having that moment where, you know, you were not in a great place in regard to just wanting to be in the industry. And you have a great friend. You know, you went and you went out to C3, and he knew exactly what to do to wake you up and to, you know, bring you back and giving you that rebirth that you needed to get right back into the industry and start going and start rebuilding yourself and rebranding yourself and having this new, you know, emergence of your success in the industry. And that's really amazing, man. I want DJs to realize that it's really hard to go at it alone, and having a support system around you is very much needed for you to be able to make it and thrive through the hard times and even the good times. You need those people around you. And it's just super important to just have that foundation of a team and people that you have in your circle to help you on this journey, man.
For me, the biggest thing that people really should understand is that you don't need a team, right? You having a team is great. You know, Ben, when I say having a team, I'm talking like 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 people, whatever. That's great. But what you really need is you need one person who's not afraid to put a foot in your ass. I tell Three all the time, and Three's older. Three's much older than I am, right? But I tell Three to his face every time I see him, like, you're an asshole. He's always been an asshole to me, but it's not like in a disrespectful way. It's just he knows, listen, we either gonna do it or we're not. Like, we don't have time to pussyfoot around. If you're gonna be about this life, then be about this life. And he knows how much I love it. And he knows my passion, he knows my drive. So he understands, like, listen, if I put him in a position where he's gonna either have to do it or not do it, he's gonna do it. And then he's going to want to keep doing it. And it's always important to have that person who's not afraid to be the bad guy. A lot of people don't have that. A lot of people surround themselves with yes men and, you know, people who are very agreeable to everything they want to say, do and speak. And I think that's always a disservice. And that's in any industry. You should always have somebody, if it's not at least one person, that's willing to look you in the face and be like, yo, this is probably the dumbest thing you've ever said to me, and make you reevaluate the way you're conducting business at the time.
Yeah, I agree, man. And those people are much needed. And I'm really glad that you found out in Three, and definitely just kind of have those people in your circle that can help you out. I would love to hear, you know, what are some things that you were able to learn in those time periods that help you even now in your industry and in your journey as a DJ, so other people that are going through tough times can also find that way to get back into it and make it through those hard humps. So talk to me just about some of those things that you learn and some advice for the people that may have gone through tough times and how they can get out as well.
So for me, it was about rediscovery. You end up doing, no matter what industry you're in. I'm also a chef, right? So I love food. I eat like a fat bastard. But you know, I've been a chef for so long that sometimes it's just like, do I really want to keep doing this? Same thing with being a DJ. And you can do something so long that you just kind of lose your love and your passion for it. So it's always about rediscovery. Why is it that you fell in love with being a DJ? And sometimes that comes in the form of going out and just bombing a set. I remember one set in particular. It was a very long time ago, where I was older in my life as a DJ. And I still wanted to play some older records. And, you know, it was a bunch of young kids, and we're at a club and we're rocking out. And I was bored. I was just flat out bored. I didn't know if I want to keep doing what I was doing. I was tired of playing some of the dumb stuff that we were playing. So I played some old cuts, and I cleared the floor. But I played what I wanted to play for probably about 45 minutes to an hour. And obviously, you know, the promoter wasn't happy. The patrons weren't happy. My paycheck wasn't happy at the end of the night either. You know, cool, whatever. Sometimes you gotta lose a battle to win a war. But from, you know, I did that, and it just, it reminded me how much I just love mixing and how much I love sound and how much I love the feel of beat. And so for me, it's the love. You have to stop and get back to the love, because you can rock parties all day long. You can go to Vegas and rock parties all day long. You can be on red eye flights all day long, but if you don't remember why you love it, at some point you're going to wake up just like, this is stupid, I don't want to do it anymore. And it's just because you lost your way and you lost the love for it. That's one of the biggest lessons for me. One of the other things that I've learned recently, shout out to my man Superstar DJ Rose. He's been a real big help for me with my rebranding process. And what he's done is he's taught me to think differently about my brand. Before, it was just, you know, being DJ Juggernaut and rocking with that however it took me. There was no direction. You know, it was just, you know, let's throw spaghetti at the wall and pray to God something sticks. What Rose has taught me is how to think differently with my brand. From the choosing of the name to to how the name is marketed, to the different ways that I market my shows, whether it's be my podcast, whether it's the live streaming, like just the different ways to name things, yet how to be very concise with the vision. And that's very important. That is very, very important. I don't think nobody had ever stressed how important it was to me before I started talking with him. And, you know, when I step back and think about it, you know, my DJ life pre-COVID now, and then my DJ life after, I was so directionless and just reckless with my DJ career before. I missed out on tons of money. But now that I have a clear concept of who DJ Dr. Feelgood is, now we move accordingly. And there's just some things that I won't do now. DJs these days will pretty much take anything and everything as long as it's paying. And that's, A, it's bad for the culture, because now you just, all we do is undercut. And he said he'll do it for $400. Oh, that's cool. I'll do it for $10 as long as you give me a couple of drinks and a pack of cigarettes. Like, bro, sit down somewhere, man. Like, you're trash. But because we get more selective, if we were to be more selective as a culture, then there'd be tiers to this game, right? You know, if I'm not taking these $200 to $500 gigs because that, you know, so it's just beneath me. You don't see Jazzy Jeff out here taking a gig at a bar, right? You know, you see Jazzy, you know, somebody spent a lot of money to get him. But that also leaves opportunity for the younger cats to get into those spots so they can get their practice. And I think about stuff like that. I think about how the culture is moving forward and what we can do to help it along. If we get together and we say, hey, listen, based on my following, based on whatever this is my worth, and I'm not taking anything underneath that, then we create tiers. And so the young guys who are just started, who just bought gear, they can get in and start doing this stuff in little bars and lounges, whatever. The guys who've been in the game for a little bit, who aren't the greatest, but they've been out of their basements for long enough, they can start making a little extra money. And then, you know, they're the guys that are at the top that are just, listen, we're doing tours, baby. You know what I'm saying? We're going out of the country. Those are the things that I think about. So for me to get, I feel like I deviated from your question too, I'm not going to lie.
It was great, man. That was definitely great. I think that you hit the point, you know, by focusing on the love and what you love to do and where your passion is. If you align that with your business, with your brand, with your DJing, you'll be happy in this industry and we'll be able to make it out of the tough times and be able to be in it for the long run. So I really appreciate that. This has been a really great interview. I would love to hear, what are some things that you're focused on right now, and how can myself, the club, our audience, and our community help and support you in your endeavors?
So last week, I just relaunched my mix show, which is Kiss Radio, Keeping It So Sick Radio, which is streaming on every major platform except for Spotify, because Spotify apparently doesn't like mix shows. I'm doing that. I'm getting into the live stream space, which coincidentally enough, I am on the app, on the club app. I just haven't used it yet. I've watched several other DJs get on. Like I said, I'm the kind of guy, I like to study. I like to study and make sure I know what's going on, what to expect if I can. And club app, man, I tell you what, once I get on, we get busy, baby. I'm on there, IG, the whole thing, working on putting together some things. I can't really discuss them right now, but we'll put the contracts in jeopardy. But, you know, we've got a lot of things coming down the pipe.
Awesome, brother. We're going to jump into the lightning round now. Are you ready?
Oh, man, I'm always ready.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
That's actually pretty easy. A Pioneer DDJ 1000 SRT. I've got a MacBook Pro from 2017, I want to say it is. Yeah, that's about right. And then, you know, you count the hard drives. I can't do all that right now.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Man, that is a loaded question. Loaded question, bro. My favorite DJ? Obviously, there's the choices of, you know, I love Jazzy Jeff. He's probably one of the most innovative DJs I've ever seen in my life. DJ Scratch, love him. And then, of course, my mentor, DJ 3. He's the one who taught me everything I know.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
My favorite party, actually, it's a tie. One of my favorite parties I did was with DJ Unk. And that's because we basically kicked him off the stage and took over the party. And then we did a summer jam. It was my very first summer jam. And we rocked about 2,500 people in the smallest space possible. But it was just so amazing to see a lot of people, that many people rocking with me.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Most interesting person? E40. Hands down.
What is one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
I think most DJs, so if we're talking about DJs who transition from live shows to live streaming, I think one of the biggest things that they miss is some form of audible audience reaction.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
I see you already got my man, Superstar DJ Rose. DJ 3 definitely could be on here. My man, DJ Detroit. Any one of my million dollar DJs, DJ Phenomenal, DJ CEO. And I know I'm going to get cussed out because I'm not naming everybody. So forgive me, but the entire million dollar DJ set could be on here. That list is long, brother. long.
Awesome. Hey, we look forward to hearing their stories. And any DJ that's interested in being on the show can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people hear you or see you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
So check me out on Facebook, facebook.com/wefeelgood. That's we, PHILGOOD. And then all of my ads pretty much across the planet is at DJ Dr. Feelgood. I'm on Twitch TV at DJ Dr. Feelgood. Anything that I do live, you can find, I'll probably post it there. Kiss Radio, Keeping It So Sick Radio on all streaming platforms. I post every week, every Saturday, so stay tuned for that. And then upcoming, like I said, I'm gonna be working. I'm working to get on the club app, baby. Working to get there.
Awesome, man. We're super excited to have you on the show, brother. This has been a tremendous interview. Learned a lot. You really put a lot on the table for people to digest. So super, super excited just to be following you and your journey going on from here. And my people, please listen, follow my brother DJ Dr. Phil Good. He's really doing an amazing job as a DJ. And we just want to thank you for spending time with us today.
Man, I want to thank you for having me out. And let me real quick give a real special shout out to you for real. The club app, I've heard a few people talk about it. And like I said, I got on it and I checked it out, and just to see the people rocking in that space, super dope. What you were doing for DJs with your podcast and that app, tremendous work, man. Tremendous work.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you.